Have you ever just been mad at somebody? I'm going to ask a more dangerous question. Have you ever just been mad at me? Too much laughing. Okay. We as humans have some issues. I think you could probably agree with that statement, right? We are in conflict. We are in conflict with each other, and ultimately, scripturally, biblically, we, in our sin, are in conflict with God. And in our own flesh, we are unworthy to come before Him. The last several weeks, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and today, it's probably the only time you have ever heard this passage on Easter Sunday. And, I think that's okay because, all Scripture is useful for teaching and for learning. And really what this passage here does show us is why Jesus came. It also shows us an effect of His coming and our faith in Him, which may not be the most enjoyable here in this world, but ultimately for eternity, it's a blessing. So I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we will read through all of the Beatitudes, verses 1 through 12, or 2 through 12, I'm sorry, and we will look particularly today at verses 9 through 11. Let's stand together. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Lord, your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you would divide our souls, that we would know our own nature today, that only in you do we find life. And it's in your name that we proclaim that. Amen. Again, the Beatitudes. Not necessarily what you expect to hear the preacher read on Easter Sunday morning. Most of us would look at the last few chapters of any of the Gospels. You may even get into Acts chapter 1, where you see the ascension of Jesus. But what does this all mean? What is it there for? Why did Jesus come? And as we've looked at the Beatitudes the last couple of weeks, we see that each one kind of builds to the next one. And now, after we see blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn, and the meek, and the hunger and thirst for righteousness, and all of these things, mercy and purity of heart, we get to this place where it says peacemakers. But then after that, it gets a little weird, right? I think if we had written the Bible, we might have stopped at verse 9. When you look at verse 10, you go, well, blessed you are you when you suffer? Yeah, it's true. But they're suffering for a purpose. And see, I think in our own lives, we even become self-proclaimed martyrs. We think it's suffering when we are told that we have to stay inside and watch TV. Or we think it's suffering when, you know, I'm not able to get my favorite flavor of something. Or, you know, but here's the fact, is that suffering comes because there is a price to be paid. And in our lives here, particularly I think in the Western Hemisphere, we don't really understand what suffering can be. As Americans, we see suffering as being told to be quiet. That's really not a biblical picture. But it's also one that we, according to the scriptures, cannot do. We cannot be silent, because if we are silent, what does it say in the Psalms? Rocks, they'll cry out. The rocks praise. All of creation lives for a purpose, and that is to glorify the Son of Man, the Creator. And we're going to look at a couple of different passages that relate back to what we talk about as being peacemakers here. But I want us to be careful as we look at this and consider suffering and not discount it as something we put upon ourselves. Because there's a reason Jesus suffered. And I can definitely say none of us have suffered like he did. And so when you look at Holy Week, and you can't ignore the resurrection, you can't ignore Holy Week in light of the resurrection. We really like Sunday. And we, as we should. I mean, that's when Jesus rises. And that is the culmination of our faith. We find eternal life because Jesus conquers death. But we must see that first he suffered. He paid a price so that we can come to that place of faith. To belief in him. Verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I would contend to you today that this verse is the resurrection. This verse right here, what we see in the New Testament, what we see in the Sermon on the Mount is this picture of what Christ desires in us and for us and through us. And it leads up to this point of blessed are peacemakers. Why? Because they shall be called sons of God, children of God. Doesn't exclude somebody here. That's just the terminology we use. The offspring of God. Peacemakers. Well, how do you do that? Peace always comes with a cost. Peace always comes as the result of some kind of sacrifice. Because why do you fight? It's because you want what you can't have or what you don't have. But ultimately, we must see that the desire we have must be the desire of God. So what does it mean to be a peacemaker? I think it means to pursue God himself. And I think Christ exemplifies that for us through the cross and through his resurrection. Because the only way we can have peace with God is because of the sacrifice that is made. And we have peace because Christ himself made that sacrifice. He is the one who fulfills that. His very presence in Holy Week and his suffering and his crucifixion, the shed blood that we remember when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and the broken bread that we remember as his body, it's because the sacrifice was made. And it wasn't made just to appease our imaginations. No, this was a historical fact. It's what we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, was the fulfillment and the historical fact of the resurrection. If the disciples had been proved wrong, they would have, the Roman government and the Jews would have produced the body. But they didn't. The tomb was empty. and he is risen. And it's because of his sacrifice and his conquering of sin. He kills sin at the cross. And he brings peace to our hearts and our lives because of that. I want to look at a couple of different passages. First of all, Ephesians chapter 2. And if you've done any in-depth Bible study, the two passages I'm going to look at in an illustration here are very formative to our belief, what we believe about Jesus and what he did for us. But it's very applicable to what we celebrate today in the resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. It says, "For he himself is our peace, for who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." See, the peace that we experience comes because Christ made it. He himself is our peace. He is that sacrifice by which we can have the hope of eternal life. Let's keep going because this is good stuff. I may actually even go back and the words may not be on the screen and it's going to be okay. Verse 16, it says, "And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Again, the sacrifice of peace. "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." This is what it's all about, gang. This is about coming before the Father because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. Jesus himself is the peacemaker. And when we live out our faith and our trust in him, we can fulfill what he preaches in the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God." We find peace in Christ alone. And in all the societal strife, all the problems we're facing in our world today, the answer is Jesus. Because he breaks down the ultimate barrier, that is the hostility between God and man because of our sin. He became sin and he killed sin. He was the perfect and spotless sacrifice and is ultimately the perfect peacemaker. And when we receive the gift of the Spirit, when we trust in him as our Savior, he puts before us the task by which he himself came. We are now in him to be peacemakers. And again, that comes by the sacrifice. Practically, ultimately, it's the sacrifice of Jesus because he is the only one who can bring that peace. But ultimately, he calls us in other parts of the gospel, in the letters, he calls us to lay down our lives, to sacrifice our own preferences and desires that we might see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look now at Colossians chapter 1. And when I found this in my study and how it relates to this, I just couldn't resist reading it because this is one of my very favorite passages. And I've got a lot of favorite passages, but I'm telling you, this one is way up there. Probably one or two. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So we have this picture. Who is he? It's Jesus. He's already been talking about Jesus leading up to this point. The Son. He is the agent of creation. He is the one who's made all of this happen. He is the one that's brought us here in the first place. And he knows what our biggest problem is.
But wait, there's more. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Again, that is the resurrection. He is the, in everything, he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, here we go, here's that peacemaker stuff. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace. It didn't stop there, right? I paused. By the blood of his cross. Jesus is the peacemaker. He makes that peace and he conquers death. That wage is paid. But that gift is his salvation when you believe in his name. And here's where it gets tough. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. When we declare ourselves to be on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we put ourselves in direct opposition to the powers and principalities of this world. This is where it comes. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, there's a price to pay here on earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution, suffering, blessing. It's not very American, but it's the gospel. When we suffer, we are blessed. But it's not just in our own self-righteousness. Because again, filthy rags, it's only in his righteousness. I can't do it. My personal suffering is generally a product of my own behavior. I did something dumb. I broke my rule number one. You know, I go through suffering. Now, does God teach me lessons in that suffering? Absolutely. I've learned lots of lessons because I did something dumb. And God teaches me, again, how to grow as a disciple, to trust in him. And usually, it takes multiple times for me to learn those lessons. I don't know about you. Anybody there with me? Or is anybody in here perfect? Okay, just check. Here's the deal. Verses 10 and 11 are basically the same beatitude. 11 builds on 10. Blessed are you when others revile you. We don't use that word in regular speech. But it's one of those words that sounds like what it is. When they mock you, when they insult you, when they treat you like trash. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. Now, I could stop there because that happens all the time by our own personal behavior, by the mistakes that we made. But it doesn't stop there. It says, on my account. Remember, Jesus is speaking here. When we suffer on his behalf, we're blessed. When we suffer on our behalf, it's called discipline. When we suffer for him, it's a blessing. Why? He tells us right here, rejoice and be glad. Makarios, rejoice. Blessed beyond explanation. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, we can't truly see the blessing of suffering except by faith in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We cannot see the blessing that is suffering except by faith in Jesus. Again, I can kick something and hurt my toe and suffer. Okay? I cannot look as I'm backing up, and these things have happened in probably everybody's lives, and hit another car. And I will suffer, as will my bank accounts. But I did that. We are in a spiritual battle in this world. The devil does not want human beings to trust in Jesus because he wants them. He knows that our souls are eternal. And that by what we believe here on earth, we come to faith in him. Or we deny our faith in Christ. And when we deny our faith in Christ, we fall to the penalty of eternal destruction. Why is the gospel important? Why does sharing our faith matter? Because that's our destiny if we don't trust in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, not by our own works, but by what Jesus has done for us. And it's in his righteousness that we come into the presence of the Father. And Jesus knew that we were at odds with God. And he knew that as much as we want to follow the rules and get it right, we're going to start thinking that we did this ourselves. Yeah. It'll look good. No. We are saved by his work alone. He has come to be the ultimate peacemaker. And the commission, ultimately, part of that great commission, we read it at the start of the service. Part of that great commission is to do verse 9. That is to live out our faith and share the good news of what God has done to reconcile man to him. And that is that the Son of God paid the price for our sin. Jesus, being the ultimate peacemaker, commissions us then to make peace with the world. And guys, it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with preferences. It has nothing to do with what your favorite color is. It has everything to do with that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Man, these songs we sang this morning, they always go a certain place further than it feels like they need to when we just sing them. Because it starts talking about his return. You know, this resurrection, that's fine. But that return is the day we look forward to now because of our trust in him. And I don't know when that day will come. You know, we talk about suffering that we're facing now. Guys, we haven't even touched it in America. This is not about our self-righteousness. It's about trusting in him. So, how are we blessed? We are blessed when we are poor in spirit because we have the kingdom of heaven. We are blessed when we mourn. Why? Because we receive the comfort of the Lord. We are blessed when we are meek, when we are gentle. Why? Because those are the ones who inherit the earth. We are blessed when we hunger and we thirst for righteousness. Why? Because that's what God wants to give us. And we will be full beyond measure. Blessed are the merciful. Because they receive that mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, and this is really what our desire should be at all times. Why? Because they get to see God. Finally, before we get to the hard part, it says, blessed are peacemakers, because they are called the sons of God, the children of God. You're like Jesus then. But that challenge goes before us then, because when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we are in conflict with the world. But friends, don't get caught up in your self-righteousness. Always return to the cross, to what Jesus has done for us. that blood shed for you and I brings us grace and purity. Let us trust in him. Friends, that is the resurrection, that he has made us righteous, and he has bridged that gap when we trust in him. Saves us from eternal separation from him in hell, and gives us the hope of eternal life at our passing and at his return. Because he is good and his love endures. How long? Forever. It's not about today or tomorrow. It's about eternity. It's not about me or you. It's all about him. Do we live faith? Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for the hope of eternity. I thank you for the grace you offer us in Jesus. Lord, your goodness, we could never imagine. And the way you reconcile to us, I don't think that we would have ever made it up. Because it's too gory. We want to save ourselves, but God, you offer us salvation because of what you did for us on the cross and through the power of the resurrection. And I pray for the one today who might need to place their trust in you, that you would give them boldness to believe and trust in your name today, to search the scriptures, to grow in faith, to bless you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. And the song we're going to sing is "O Come to the Altar." And that's what this place is. It's